I became a civil rights lawyer defending LGBTQ people from discrimination.
Nothing about politics is theoretical for me. I have the experience of being in a marriage that exists by the grace of a single vote on the U.S. Supreme Court.
25 years ago, I walked in the studio and recorded this song. And now, I'm about to sing it for you the way I wish I could have sang it for you then.
The way he laughed, the way he loved.
He is the very model of a very stable genius.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Trans hate crime stats shock the UK. Mayor Pete holds his own as Democrats debate. And a country star revisits his first big hit. All that and more this week now that you've tuned into This Way Out.
I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
And I'm Rob LaCrone.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending June 29th, 2019. Hate crimes against transgender people in the UK have jumped an alarming 81% during the last fiscal year. There are 1,944 hate crimes in England, Scotland, and Wales in the 2017-18 year, up from 1,073 similar crimes in 2016-17. The BBC quoted statistics it obtained from police precincts. 34 of the 36 precincts that provided data for the review reported a spike in hate crimes against trans people. Only Suffolk and Merseyside police reported a drop in those crimes. West and South Yorkshire police each reported that anti-trans hate crimes in their areas have tripled during the past 3 years. Laura Russell is with Stonewall, one of the UK's leading queer advocacy groups. She told the BBC that the shocking statistics are the real-life consequences of a society where transphobia is everywhere, from the front pages of newspapers to social media and on our streets. Debate in Parliament around updates to the Gender Recognition Act has also made trans issues part of an ongoing national discussion. The government ordered a law commission review into hate crime protections in October. Russell commended the action, but added that Stonewall wants to see the law reformed so that crimes based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability are treated equally to those based on race and faith. Deputy Chief Constable Julie Cook of the National Police Chiefs Council told the BBC that transphobic hate crimes too often go unreported. Cook said, "We are working closely with trans groups to increase awareness and understanding of our staff, as well as to build confidence and trust in the police by the trans community." Hate crimes against transgender people have been on the rise around the world. Brazil tops the list, with 167 killed in 2018. There are 71 trans murders in Mexico and 28 in the U.S.
For the second time in the past 3 months, vandals sprayed anti-queer and anti-Semitic messages outside the world headquarters of the LGBTQ rights group ILGA in Geneva. Gay Star News reported that the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association has filed a complaint over the offensive messages and property damage. ILGA World Executive Director André Duplessis told Gay Star News that, "Sadly, these types of incidents are all too common in the world. LGBTI people everywhere face this and much, much worse on a daily basis." ILGA also noted that Switzerland may not be as queer-friendly as some think. 1 in 2 LGBTQ people under the age of 25 reported being subjected to at least one form of anti-queer violence in the past 6 months. Nearly 9 in 10 transgender students said they'd been verbally abused, and more than half say they've been bullied in school. Switzerland has no hate crime laws protecting people on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. The government announced in December that it intended to add lesbians and gays to relevant sections of the penal code dealing with hate crimes, but transgender people would not be included. Even so, a petition to hold a referendum on including gay people was filed by opponents a few weeks later. Gay Star News reports that a public vote on the issue may be unavoidable.
African-American civil rights lawyer Alfonso David was named this week to succeed Chad Griffin as president of the Human Rights Campaign. David becomes the first person of color to lead the 40-year-old HRC, which is one of the leading U.S. advocacy groups. Outgoing HRC President Griffin earned his activist stripes before and during the battle over Proposition 6 in California. Incoming President David helped enact marriage equality in New York, as well as the state ban on so-called conversion therapy. David was also instrumental in crafting measures to protect transgender people from discrimination. David was born in the U.S., but spent most of his youth in Liberia. His family moved to Baltimore, Maryland, soon after a violent military coup toppled the government of the president, David's uncle. David introduces himself in a nicely produced video posted by the Human Rights Campaign.
I told my father on the telephone I was gay, and he got very, very angry, disowned me, said, "I wish you were never born." I had to, at a very young age, understand the purpose of life, the value of democracy, and really think about, why am I here? What am I going to do? I became a civil rights lawyer defending LGBTQ people from discrimination.
David said he could not be more proud to take the helm of the Human Rights Campaign.
I believe that together, all of us, we can harness the strength that's inherent in our differences to stand together in the face of fear and division. In unity, we will fight back and we will win.
It's just past that time of year again, June, the traditional month of LGBTQ Pride, which is, of course, celebrated every day of the year. The 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion was observed in lots of ways around the world. Here are some of the highlights, and alas, one lowlight of the past month.
Ukrainian politicians and foreign diplomats marched in what's been called their biggest pride parade ever in Kiev on June 22nd. Banners displayed during the colorful procession along streets in the center of the nation's capital city proclaimed, "Diversity is beautiful, human rights equals happy country, and no violence, yes rights." A few hundred protesters on the sidelines of the March for Equality were kept at bay by helmeted police officers. Organizers said that the more than 8,000 people who participated this year by far topped last year's crowd, estimated at 5,000. Pride parades, or attempted parades, were met with violent attacks in the former Soviet country as recently as 2015.
Sao Paulo hosted what's purported to be one of the world's largest pride parades on June 23rd. Organizers said they expected up to 3 million celebrants at the annual march through the center of one of Brazil's major economic hubs. But many people this year said they were going not only to party during the traditionally festive carnival-like procession. They wanted to express their demands for liberty under the recently installed President Jair Bolsonaro. Many in the queer community have felt threatened since the election of the far-right politician and self-avowed proud homophobe. 31-year-old participant Monique Barber said that, "I came to fight against homophobia and disrespect."
An estimated 250,000 people took to the streets and beaches of Tel Aviv on June 14th in the annual celebration of Pride and Sunshine. The Israeli city is considered to be one of the most queer-friendly places in the Middle East. The parade's international ambassador was global TV star Neil Patrick Harris, who waved gaily from a float with his husband, David Burtka.
The city of Paris helped celebrate Pride on June 19th with the unveiling of a plaque honoring U.S. rainbow flag creator Gilbert Baker. The plaque includes the famous six-striped symbol of pride. Mayor Anne Hidalgo and other dignitaries attended. On the same day, the city renamed one of its public squares for martyred U.S. politician Harvey Milk, trans activist and poet Ovida Delect, and those who fought back at Stonewall. A nearby street now bears the name of gay activist Pierre Seal, who was deported in 1940. According to Gay Star News, more than 40 places around the city now bear the names of LGBTQ people. They include Irish gay activist Mark Ashton and bisexual U.S. feminist author Susan Sontag, longtime partner of the legendary photographer Annie Leibovitz. Paris officially marched with Pride on June 29th.
On the Pride downside, the petty presidency of Donald Trump has struck again. As previously reported, dozens of U.S. diplomats have thumbed their noses at a Trump administration directive ordering embassies not to fly the rainbow flag during Pride Month. That had become customary during the Obama years. President Obama designated the Stonewall Inn and the area around it a national monument in 2016. However, email exchanges published through a Freedom of Information request by ENE News this week describe how squeamish Trump officials were about flying the rainbow on the federally maintained flagpole at the site. The rainbow colors were eventually raised on a pole maintained on adjacent property owned by the City of New York.
And finally, the London Zoo's famous gay penguin couple, Ronnie and Reggie, have joined other queer penguin couples in their own Pride celebration. The pair made global headlines in 2015 when they adopted and raised an abandoned chick. Starting on July 5th, they'll be starring in Zoo Nights, a pride-themed program that teaches zoo visitors over 18 about same-sex behavior among animals. Other queer penguin couples keeping company with Ronnie and Reggie at the zoo include Nadja and Zimmer, and Dev and Martin. Brightly colored signage erected in front of the gay and lesbian penguin couple's beach habitat comes from the advocacy group Stonewall's pride-related anti-bullying campaign. It reads, "Some penguins are gay. Get over it."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending June 29th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Rob LaCrone.
And I'm Laura Dickinson Turner.
I'm so much cooler online.
There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
News Wrap transcripts,
CDs, and downloadable materials.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
But I paid no attention to what mattered most.
Words he wished he'd sung way back when, later in the program. That's what Democrats and many others across the U.S. are singing now that 20 qualified candidates for the party's presidential nomination have squared off for the first time in a series of nationally televised debates. South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg made history just by being there as the first legitimate openly gay or lesbian candidate for the party's nomination, and we'll hear from him in a few moments. Each candidate's debate night was randomly selected. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren was the highest polling contender in the first round of debates on June 26. Among the other nine, former Obama Housing Secretary Julian Castro scored points for being inclusive during a discussion of women's health care rights, including the right to choose.
Secretary Castro, this one is for you. All of you on stage support a woman's right to an abortion. You all support some version of a government health care option. Would your plan cover abortion, Mr. Secretary?
Yes, it would. I don't believe only in reproductive freedom. I believe in reproductive justice. And, you know, what that means is that just because a woman, or let's also not forget someone in the trans community, a trans female, is poor doesn't mean they shouldn't have the right to exercise that right to choose. And so I absolutely would cover the right to have an abortion.
In the second hour on the first night, Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard was questioned about some controversial comments in her past, and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker jumped in with a beyond inclusive afterword.
Look, civil rights is some place to begin, but in the African-American civil rights community, another place to focus on was to stop the lynching of African-Americans. We do not talk enough about trans-Americans, especially African-American trans-Americans, and the incredibly high rates of murder right now. We don't talk enough about how many children, about 30% of LGBTQ kids, who do not go to school because of fear. It's not enough just to be on the Equality Act. I'm an original co-sponsor. We need to have a president that will fight to protect LGBTQ Americans single day from violence.
Thank you, Senator Booker.
Straight military personnel will have to shower with homosexual.
What do you think goes wrong when people shower with homosexuals? Do you think it's the spray makes it catching? I mean, we don't get ourselves dry cleaned.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank. And you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
Senator Harris.
For
please. We will let you all speak. Senator Harris.
You can't afford to wait for evolution on these issues.
Okay, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table. Yes?
California Senator Kamala Harris was, by most accounts, one of the big winners in the two-night face-off on June 27th. And zingers like that one were part of the reason why. South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, the first serious openly queer contender for a presidential nomination of a major political party, helped his cause during a discussion about Donald Trump's family separation policy at the U.S. southern border.
We got to talk about one other thing, because the Republican Party likes to cloak itself in the language of religion. Now, our party doesn't talk about that as much, largely for a very good reason, which was we are committed to the separation of church and state, and we stand for people of any religion and people of no religion. But we should call out hypocrisy when we see it. And for a party that associates itself with Christianity, to say that it is okay to suggest that God would smile on the division of families at the hands of federal agents, that God would condone putting children in cages, has lost all claim to ever use religious language again.
Just a few days before the debates, the city of South Bend was rocked by a questionable killing by a white police officer of a black man. Mayor Pete left the campaign trail to try to sort things out back home. MSNBC moderator Rachel Maddow asked him about that.
Mayor Buttigieg, in the last 5 years, civil rights activists in our country have led a national debate over race and the criminal justice system. Your community of South Bend, Indiana, has recently been in uproar over an officer-involved shooting. The police force in South Bend is now 6% black in a city that is 26% black. Why has that not improved over your two terms as mayor?
Because I couldn't get it done. My community is in anguish right now because of an officer-involved shooting, a black man, Eric Logan, killed by a white officer. And I'm not allowed to take sides until the investigation comes back. The officer said he was attacked with a knife, but he didn't have his body camera on. It's a mess, and we're hurting. And I could walk you through all of the things that we have done as a community, all of the steps that we took from bias training to de-escalation, but it didn't save the life of Eric Logan. And when I look into his mother's eyes, I have to face the fact that nothing that I say will bring him back. This is an issue that is facing our community and so many communities around the country. And until we move policing out from the shadow of systemic racism, whatever this particular incident teaches us, we will be left with the bigger problem of the fact that there's a wall of mistrust put up one racist act at a time, not just from what's happened in the past, but from what's happening around the country in the present. It threatens the well-being of every community. And I am determined to bring about a day when a white person driving a vehicle and a black person driving a vehicle, when they see a police officer approaching, feels the exact same thing, a feeling not of fear, but of safety. I am determined to bring that day about.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Buttigieg bounced back later when he was asked to say who among U.S. allies he'd make a fence-mending phone call to first if he becomes president.
We have no idea which of our most important allies he will have pissed off worse between now and then. What we know is that our relationship with the entire world needs to change, and it starts by modeling American values at home.
Each candidate on both nights was given 45 seconds to crystallize his or her pitch to the voters. No other major party U.S. presidential contender has ever referenced his sexual orientation in such a setting.
Nothing about politics is theoretical for me. I've had the experience of writing a letter to my family, putting it in an envelope marked just in case, and leaving it where they would know where to find it in case I didn't come back from Afghanistan. I have the experience of being in a marriage that exists by the grace of a single vote on the U.S. Supreme Court. I have the experience of guiding a community where the per capita income was below $20,000 when I took office into a brighter future. I'm running because the decisions we make in the next 3 or 4 years are going to decide how the next 30 or 40 go. And when I get to the current age of the current president in the year 2055, I want to be able to look back on these years and say my generation delivered climate solutions, racial equality, and an end to endless war. Help me deliver that new generation to Washington before it's too late.
Thank you.
Kamala Harris's donor rolls skyrocketed as she catapulted into third place in post-debate polling nationwide behind Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Elizabeth Warren was a very close fourth. Donations also reportedly spiked for Julian Castro and Cory Booker in response to their debate skills. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow spent her entire show the night after the last debate finding what she called good moments for each candidate. The next debates are scheduled for the end of July, with bookends by Democratic debaters Jay Inslee and Julian Castro, a very well-versed queer wit who claims Randy Rainbow is his real name, toasts the man they all want to replace.
The greatest geopolitical threat to the United States right now, Governor Inslee.
The biggest threat to the security of the United States is Donald Trump, and there's no question.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius. We still have to figure out what's going on with him.
He is the very model of a very stable genius. Of all the U.S. presidents, he is the Mussoliniest. He learned a lot of things according to his Wikipedia and demonstrates his ample intellect on social media. When people are in need, he is the best at making fun of them. He knows 11 words, although he can't spell even one of them. An overly flamboyant, orange, autocratic, scuzzy man who's undermining everything Obama did because he can.
He's undermining everything Obama did because he can. He's undermining everything Obama did because he can. He's overly flamboyant and an autocratic, scuzzy, orange man.
I'm a very stable genius.
He's firmly resolute, but how he thinks and feels and talks depends on any of the crap he may have heard that day on Fox and Friends. And though his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
I am doing a great job, that I can tell you.
He's very good at pushing all the bullshit that he's peddling, but won't concern himself with matters such as Russian meddling. His campaign manager's in jail on charges that are felony, and no one really cares about him less than his wife, Melanie. Sorry, Mulaney. He's really great with children when it comes to immigration. He thinks he's making progress with denuclearization. He's only hated from Seattle to the Carolinas and likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas.
He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas. He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas. He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas.
Queen Elizabeth did not see that coming. He's certainly proficient at hijacking an election. At NATO, he is not afraid of not taking direction. Aside from all his ignorance, the chaos and subpoenas, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
I would say the highest level of special.
He's always been a pro at things like violating protocols and reproducing other egotistical Neanderthals. To all our greatest allies, he decides to say get out of here while doing all he can to satisfy his daddy Vladimir. There's no one as accomplished in the art of the distraction. Of anything that's factual, he orders a retraction. When greeting foreign leaders, he prefers the pomp and circumstance than vomits verbal diarrhea to satisfy his sycophants. There never was a military draft he couldn't dodge, and he is excellent at advocating racist and misogyny. He likes to make up stories with convenience exclusion of topics that he finds make him feel threatened, like collusion. He expertly persuades his base that Mueller's hunting for a witch instead of their own president, who's obviously Putin's bitch. He calls reporters fake and says the Democrats are sour grapes, then lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes.
He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes.
Oh, never has there been a stable genius as smart as he, and if you don't believe me, you can just ask Sarah Huckabee. And though his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
Oh, his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable...
And a very stable genius. Whatever, girl.
And on January 20th, 2021, we'll say adios to Donald Trump.
Thanks for another brilliant parody, Randy Rainbow. And to end on another positive note this week, a major U.S. country star made news in early June on YouTube with an amended version of his first big hit.
Hey guys, Ty Herndon here. You know, this song's always been very special to me. 25 years ago, I walked in the studio and recorded the song. And now I'm about to sing it for you the way I wish I could have sang it for you then.
I thought I knew the boy so well. If he was sad, I could not tell. I missed the point, and I missed the signs. If he's gone, the fault is mine. And I know, a whole lot of little things. And even though I could list them one by one, oh, he would still be gone. His eyes are blue, his hair was long, 64, he was born in Baton Rouge. His favorite song was "In My Life." I memorized his every move. I knew his books, his car, his clothes, but I paid no attention to what mattered most. I never asked, he never said. And when he cried, I turned my head. He dreamed his dreams behind closed doors. That made them easy to ignore. And I know, I miss the forest for the trees. And all I have to show, you know, when he walked out the door, a Colfax, nothing more. His eyes are blue, his hair was long. At 64, he was born in Baton Rouge. His favorite song was "In My Life." I memorized his every move. I knew his books, his car, his clothes, but I paid no attention to what mattered. Hair was long. At 64, he was born in Baton Rouge. His father's tall, his mother's gone. He moved out west when he was two. The way he laughed, the way he loved. Oh my God, what did I do? What did
That was Ty Herndon with what he called his reimagined version of What Mattered Most. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Laura Dickinson Turner and Rob LaCrone, produced by Brian DeShazer. Men at Work, Randy Rainbow, and Ty Herndon performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For associate producer Alicia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KCMJ, Colorado Springs, Colorado, to TLC, Yamba, New South Wales, WRUV, Burlington, Vermont, and some 200 stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Do stay tuned.